believe it's year-end quickly approaching, and with that, we're already starting to see that holiday mentality in this marketplace. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Of course, we've had a lot of red on the screen from a grain perspective today. Jeff Peterson joins us. He is with Heartland Farm Partners. So let's kind of start out there. I mean, obviously the year is getting ready to come to a close. What are your thoughts and factors and things that you're kind of keeping an eye out for?
Yeah, you're exactly right. When you take a look at the calendar, there's not a lot of trading days left, and you've nailed it. We've got pretty light trade, volume's pretty low, but you know, there's some important factors that we're watching. We definitely are keeping an eye on what's going on with South American weather, you know, continuing to see how the rains come in, and we know that crop continues to progress along pretty well on the soybean side without too many challenges. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. We're also keeping a very close eye on what's going on with export sales and inspections, focused first on soybeans, but also watching corn very closely. Just want to make sure that that corn demand holds in there. You know, and it's disappointing from the EPA side. You know, we've got the small refinery exemptions and the RVO numbers. We're wanting to, you know, see that information, but it doesn't sound like we're going to get that until, you know, probably the first quarter or so of next year. And then, you know, definitely watching what's going on as the market sets up its expectations for the January WASDE report, but we can't also forget about the quarterly stocks report that goes along with that. And the biggest thing from the quarterly stocks report side, we really want to get a chance to see those numbers so we have a way to gauge kind of what's going on with the feed demand. We're also watching the fund positions as CFTC gets caught back up. We really appreciate the fact that they're accelerating their catch up, and by the end of the month here, we will be caught up. And, you know, watching those technicals very close just to see how this market performs in here. When you don't have a lot of news coming in, sometimes you really got to kind of pull back on the technical side, Susan.
Well, you know, there's a lot of folks that are watching this weather happening with South America. Some areas getting decent rains, almost too much. Others, none at all. So as we look at that, what's your takeaway of our South American forecast?
Yeah, you said it. There really is something for everybody down there. And if, you know, start first in Mato Grosso. And if you own the western part of Mato Grosso, you know, they've been faring pretty well. If you think about kind of the time of year, what it'd be like in relation to kind of like our crop year, well, they're entering the latter part of August in the first part of September, the equivalency, you know, for that crop. So that crop is getting pretty well made. You know, we'll be hearing some combines running here soon. Now, granted, there won't be a lot of stuff that will get harvested. And then for sure, you know, until we get into, you know, mid-January, and then we know that we still got a window to send some of our stuff out of the U.S. on the bean side, because we know by the time those crops get harvested and then they get shipped over to China, it'll be the first part of March before they get a lot of those beans going into from Brazil on into China. But getting back on the weather side, you know, there's some dryness showing up in the next couple weeks window, more for the east and southeast part, maybe more the east and east central part. But, you know, Goiás is an area in there that looks like it's going to have some pretty dry conditions, and also even the eastern part of Mato Grosso. But as you get on down into Argentina, there's some, you know, in the northern part, you've got a little bit of wetness there and maybe a little bit of dryness showing up as we get on down into the Buenos Aires area. But I think actually for the soybean crop, especially on Brazil, you know, it's in pretty good shape here. I think the biggest thing that everybody's watching is, you know, what's the planting pace going to be like once they start harvesting those beans, once they start getting that safrinha crop in? Because, you know, there is probably about 30% of that safrinha corn crop that looks like it will get planted outside that optimal window. So that's something that's being watched very close.
Well, speaking of pace, let's look at China and their purchasing. We saw some more come across the wires this morning, but are you happy with the pace that's taking place at this point?
Well, it's kind of hard. The best way I'd kind of phrase that, Susan, is it kind of depends on what time frame are we talking. You know, if we started off and looked at as of January 1st, well, no, we don't. But I never really thought that the 12 million metric tons would be picked up, you know, by January 1st. We know some of the latest words out of the current administration, actually out of Jamison Greer, actually suggested that, you know, maybe they actually have until the end of the crop season, which we really believe probably ends up meaning the end of the crop year. So when you put it in that type of context, we'd have to take a look and see, okay, what do the numbers show on what they've actually bought? If you dig in and just try to support it with flash sales and your weekly export sales, you're probably somewhere around about 3.5 to 4 million metric tons. When you take into account the the unknown category and maybe some other purchases that hasn't hit the official books. Some are saying it's up there somewhere closer to 7.5 to 8 million metric tons. Now, to kind of put that in perspective, you know, that particular amount, you know, when we put it on a bushel amount, that's about 275.5 million bushels that they purchased. Now, we've been watching very closely how the shipments have been going. As of right now, our numbers would show, according to the weekly export inspections, they would have shipped out about 11.9 million bushels so far. So they're about 4% shipped of that amount. Now, I do think that China will end up probably taking all of the 12 million metric tons at some point, but I do think it will take us all the way out to the end of the crop year, which gets us out to the end of August. One other positive thing that we're watching right along with that is that we've been watching what Sinograin has been doing on their weekly auctions. And, you know, their weekly auctions, they had three of them this month so far, 500,000 metric tons each time. You know, they've been getting somewhere between 60 and 70% of those bushels sold back out into the commercial trade. Only thing was a little disappointing in this last week's auction is they did only get about 33% of those bushels sold. So we're going to have to watch and make sure there's going to be room for those U.S. beans to come in, because we got to keep in mind with those beans that are coming in, those are going to end up having to go into the reserve just because of where the tariff price is, as opposed to making it into the commercial trade.
You know, I had somebody say, no matter where you're at in the world, somebody is out there harvesting wheat. But here in the States, I mean, winter wheat with some temperatures, and I was reading the South this next week could be as high as 70 degrees. That's got a cause for a little concern for winter dormancy.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Susan. And as we take a look at that, you know, we know that a little brief period isn't a real big concern, but we know wheat is very tough. But the problem is that when you warm it up, you know, when we talk about the wheat getting hardened off, well, that has an impact on that. And if it stays too warm too long and then switches back to the really cold conditions, then all of a sudden we've got a concern there. But one of the things that I've noticed with this wheat market is that it seems like it's been a little bit, lack of really interest in ever trading those type of scares. So even though I do think it's something we have to watch at the wheat, I don't think the market will get too concerned. If it was 15, 20 years ago, it seems like they're always more interested in trading that. But I think they take the approach now that, yeah, let's see how it exits dormancy as we get into the spring.
From a technical picture, let's jump over to corn and beans. What are you seeing at this point?
Well, we're watching the technicals very close. And starting first off on the March corn, that March corn is really just sandwiched right there between that 100-day moving average at 437 and a quarter, and that 200-day moving average sitting there at 444. And what's so important about those two levels in there is that our latest numbers would show that the funds are long about 36,000 contracts of corn. So it's really important we stay above that 100-day, but we just have not had enough support to bounce us through that 200-day. So we just kind of keep moving our way between those two levels. And then as we go over there and take a look on the soybean side, it's been disappointing this week. You know, we broke through the 100-day moving average back there on the 16th, and then on the 18th, we broke through the 200-day moving average. What's so concerning about that is that the funds right now, they're long about 166,000 contracts of soybeans. So as this market gets down below that 200-day, we do have a little worry that if we can't bounce back up here, that could still open the downside, you know, to on the beans a little bit lower here until we find a little bit more support.
And then it was interesting that usually meetings are getting canceled on us. And now this time the U.S. has canceled a trade meeting with South Korea this week.
Yeah, they did, you know, and that goes back to the CORUS joint committee meeting. And that really gets all back to that bilateral trade that was in the agreement that was set up in 2012 with U.S. and South Korea. You know, and really what it all comes back to is just the digital regulations, you know, and ultimately the U.S. just felt that they, you know, South Korea and what they were doing there was hurting some of our U.S. companies, and that was against kind of what had been agreed to. So as a result, the thought is that maybe that does get pushed into next year. I don't think it's a big concern what that could be for ag trade, though, but it's something we'll have to keep our eyes on.
All right. Well, we, of course, wish you, Jeff, and your family a very Merry Christmas and look forward to talking to you in the new year.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Jeff Peterson joining us today. He is with Heartland Farm Partners. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Friday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.